The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town.
All right, folks, we're back. Second hour of the National Intel Report. Yeah, the American dream has become a nightmare, and Stuart Handy can attest to that. Many other people sitting on the J6 in Washington, D.C. can attest to that. Many, many injustices are going on all over this country. Now, as we pause this story, Stuart is being advised by his counsel, Billy Gilbert. He's in a conversation with the DA talking about he wants to get a felony on Stuart. We're going to pause that because we've got a couple of callers on the line. We're kind of going to intersperse the rest of Stuart's story in between phone calls, if you would. So, Rhonda in Missouri, you're second. Let's go to Andy in Texas. Andy, you're on with Michael and Stuart. Go ahead. What's on your mind, partner?
Thanks, Mike, and I'll be brief. Hey, Stuart over there, okay, look, you're a police officer. You've done 30 years of police officers, and, you were there when they actually had the painting on the side of the car that said protect and serve. You were there, right? Am I wrong? My question to you, Stuart, and you're going to be honest, I know you are, because you've already figured out that there's nothing left to hide. You don't have nothing to hide. So, but
no.
on this note, have you been, in the 30 years that you've been in the military, might as well be the military, the police force, do you have any regrets of some places that you went and you arrested people, you put them in handcuffs? Do you actually think that this is wrong? Why are we doing this? Did you ever have that kind of feeling?
No, sir, because I live by the morals and integrity and ethics that my parents taught me. If there was an illegal order that was given to me by superiors, I would challenge it. And I will elaborate a little bit on this. My first baptism by fire began 21 years ago on September 11th, when I was threatened with my career as a senior state trooper with the Nevada Highway Patrol by the director of the Department of Public Safety at the time, who we had filed federal whistleblower charges on. So this is the foundation of where I'm at today. There is a group of people, I won't call them the Good Old Boys Club, I'll call them the Cabal, that are behind everything that's taken place against me within the last 3 years. They waited for their opportunity like vultures on a perch, and they swooped in when they had the chance. I never arrested anybody. I feel very... It tells you this, Andy. I never arrested anybody.
No. Yeah. So are you on the premise that you never arrested somebody that you didn't think needed to be arrested? Are you saying that?
I deferred to, if that was the case, what I did is I submitted my information in an official report to the district attorney's office. I let them make the call because I felt uncomfortable with giving the information I had on...
Don't let me put you down here, but so you basically was a follow. You're an order follower. You did it. You did what they told you to do. Really? Is that right? I'm not trying to belittle you here, so don't get upset with me, please, because a lot of people do when I talk like this.
I feel very comfortable, Andy, in telling you this, that if I felt there was any disadvantage to the person I was going to arrest, I would have deferred it to my superiors and said, hey, wait a minute, I'm not comfortable with this. Why don't we just submit this information to the DA's office? Let them make the call. That was an opportunity
and there you
that
go.
I had.
That's what I wanted to hear, Chief. Thank you. All right, hey, thanks. I appreciate
yeah,
it.
Thank you very much.
Andy, let me interject. I've spoken to Stuart off the phone, and I've had my own encounters with the police, and I have to admit, in my conversations with Stuart and what I know about him, he was a peace officer. He wasn't a law enforcement officer, if that's worth anything to you.
I like that.
So thanks for the call. Let's go to Rhonda in Missouri. Rhonda, you're on with Michael and Stuart. How are you doing, girl?
Yeah, hi, Michael. Hi, Stuart. I have a quick question.
Hi. Okay.
So you were given your backstory, and I thought, I'm going to look up this story and see what else I can get from what you're saying. I found an article that was written on... November 7th, 2019, in the Las Vegas Review Journal.
Correct.
The headline is Nevada Woman at Center of Family Abduction Case Dies. And that's obviously what you said is still a mystery as to, because they didn't, did she die in the facility?
So here's what happened. The Roger's sister brought her mother back to Nevada. We went to two assisted care facilities. The first one happened to be run by a friend of mine, as I've known since high school. I won't brought, make his name. We were supposed to go to lunch the week I got arrested. I didn't talk to this gentleman until after Susan Hillegas had died. I called him up to say, hey, partner, I'm sorry we missed lunch. He goes, Stewie, your name's all over the news. What the hell is going on? Blah, blah, blah. I said, well, and I won't say his name. Sorry. Yeah, things went from a normal situation to an abnormal situation. And he goes, you want to hear something crazy? I go, what's that? He goes, Susan Hillegas was brought back to my facility. I go, what are you talking about? Well, this person owned this facility in Reno. And he proceeded to tell me that she was fine. Nothing wrong with her. But the daughter came in and said the restrictions at this first facility that Susan Hillegas was brought back to were too restrictive. She wanted to take her out and put her in a second facility, which is exactly what happened. 2 weeks after that, she was dead.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So apparently this woman had a lot of money and they were after the money. Right.
Yeah, Rhonda, they've been after the money from the get-go. This is all about money. This is not taking care of a loved one. And Michael and I have discussed this. Michael's a victim as well of the system. Roger Hillegas is a victim of the system. I can't say I'm a victim of the system. I'm a victim of the criminal justice system here in Washoe County. My mom passed away at her house. I was absolutely holding her hand when she passed away. She was not in a assisted care facility. She was with her only child, her son.
That's awesome.
So important. This situation is all about money, and it's really reprehensible. I will say this now so I don't forget this. The living care facilities, the assisted care facilities, the nursing homes, I refer to them as the modern-day Auschwitz. That's exactly what they are. Yeah,
I had a grandmother who was 100, and they killed her in the facility. I'm not in the facility, but, you know, I think her whatever ran out, and they... You've lived long enough. We're going to just give you morphine and make you go away. That's what happened. That was my grandma. But anyway, but this is about you and your story. So I do have a question.
Go ahead.
So at the end of the article, it says veteran cop charged, okay? Now, this to me would be a key. Now, we know the mainstream media lies all the time, and this sounds like that kind of an article. But it says veteran cop charged. Those same charges were initially leveled at one of the two men who went with Hillegas to see his 80-year-old mother at the Stone Valley Alzheimer's Special Care Center on August 8th. Now, my question is, did you say she did not have Alzheimer's, or did you say she did?
I'm not a medical doctor, so I can't offer a medical opinion, but let me tell you.
Well, I mean, when you went with him to pick her up, was that at the Stone Valley Alzheimer's Special Care Center?
Yes, ma'am. It was.
Pat, let me interject here, Rhonda. What he said at the beginning, what Stewart said at the beginning, is she was lucid. He had a conversation with her. Now, that doesn't mean that she didn't have Alzheimer's. My mother was lucid. She would go in and out, and I'm sure, Stewart, your mother probably did that too during the stages of Alzheimer's. They do that. So, you know, at that particular point in time, the conversation that you had with Roger's mother, She you understood her, right? I mean, you conversed, right, Stuart?
Well, here's the exact, almost verbatim conversation. When I met her after she was smiling with her son on her arm, I says, Mrs. Hillegas, I says, how are you? She looked at me, she goes, who are you? I says, I'm one of Roger's friends. Do you know who I am? She goes, no, I don't. I said, well, my name is Stuart, and I'm one of Roger's friends. I said, ma'am, do you know who this guy is on your arm? She goes, that's my son, my duh. And Roger turned to his mother, and she goes, he goes, Mom, do you want me to get out? She goes, please get me out of here now. That's exactly what she said. And we walked her out the front door.
Sounds pretty lucid to me. What about you, Rhonda?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I know what you're saying because my dad had, I don't think it was Alzheimer's, but it was something because he was born with mild cerebral palsy, but, you know, they were trying to diagnose him, but... Either way, I am familiar with your story about how you said, because my mom was in and out of facilities all the time, and when you were talking about that woman that was like, help me. I mean, I was like, I had the same situation here, and I was like, well, you know, she goes, take me home with you. And it happens all the time. These poor old people, it's like people are walking around them, but nobody's listening. It's very sad. You know,
we all
so
face
what,
it, Rhonda. Yeah.
Say what?
We all face, Rhonda, we all face this as our...
I know. We got to fix this, Stuart, before... It should have already been fixed. It should not even be acceptable, but so many people are mind-controlled. They can't look at the problem. I was one of those people who, you know, everybody around me was saying, you know, this is what's going on. And I'm like, no. Positive thinking, I'm trying to think, she's getting better, you know. But I'd been with her the whole time, my mom. And it's really hard to see the forest through the trees when you're always there. You know, you're like, oh, she's sleeping so much because she's healing. But no, she wasn't healing. Just saying.
All right, Rhonda. Well, listen, I got to move on. The phone lines are loading
up.
Okay, well,
thanks for taking my call, Mike.
Thank you, Rhonda.
I appreciate it. Yeah, listen, I've got a couple more callers on the line here. What I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and take these callers, and maybe at the bottom of the hour we're going to continue with this because there's a lot more to say here. So, Marcus in Idaho, you'll be up next, but let's go to Pat in Fort Worth first. Mike, Pat, you're on with Michael and Stuart. Go ahead, Pat. What's on your mind?
Yes, I wanted to ask the question, does Nevada require a... medical power of attorney over your mother, your child, your husband, or anybody that when they become unable to speak for themselves?
Excellent question, and yes, they do. There's different powers of attorney. Roger actually had power of attorney over his mother. He did not have guardianship, he had power of attorney. That was never been challenged, and that's still on record. So you can have a medical power, you know, it's basically... If you're into a situation where you're in a vegetative state or there's no brain activity, there is a medical power of attorney to disconnect life support. So, yes, there is.
Does medical power of attorney include not knowing, I mean, you know that, well, anyway, what they're doing, and they've been doing this ever since the pandemic, okay? This is a usual story.
That.
And they won't let you come in. They won't let you come in there to see them, and they treat them for something other than what they're there for. They don't give them their medicine. I told people, I said, like, tell them that if anything happens to her, that you already had a private autopsy planned. That usually slows them down.
Well, and also, you're absolutely correct, ma'am. And I also want to elaborate a little bit on this. If you double dose someone of a morphine injection, which I was told that I could do to my mother when she was in the last throes of her life here on Earth, that's basically committing murder. As far as I'm concerned, you're administering a lethal injection into a person's system to kill them without their consent, without anybody's consent. And again, this is what's taking place, and I'm appalled by it. I'm just basically beyond word descriptors to actually give a some sort of proper statement to this. It's beyond belief, and I'm sorry that this is taking place, but I know it is taking place.
All
well,
right, Janet, go ahead.
Argue with me about Texas having that, and they need to really look it up because they have it. I mean, you have to almost prove that you are the next of kin. If you don't have that medical power of attorney.
Well,
even when they say they're demented. They say dementia. They'll try to write that on every, but see, well, anyway, nobody believe me, but they need to check it out and get I guess they have to sign something that they want you to be the one to take care of them, even if there's no one else.
That's why we're here talking today. No, ma'am.
Right.
That's why we're here today is to tell Michael and his audience, hey, you don't have to stand for this. You can fight for the your loved one. You don't have to let them go into a facility and die alone, scared.
Yeah. And that's what they did to so many people. Yeah. It makes me want to cry all the time when I think of the people who are now hurting because somebody that didn't need to die just suddenly died.
And yeah. We've seen that happen. It's been exacerbated in spades because of COVID, but this has been going on for a long time. But Pat, I got to let you go. I got another caller, but there's much more to this story that I want to get into. Thanks, Pat, for the call. Let's go to Marcus in Idaho. Marcus, you're on with Michael and Stewart. How are you doing, buddy? What's on your mind?
Hello, gentlemen. People dying in an institution that they're forced into without the right of a speedy trial is exactly what's happening with the January 6th defendants. It is illegal what is happening to them. They have been in there for almost a year and a half now without a trial, which is bringing them into conclusion. And
620 days, Marcus, 620 days. I just listened to Charlie Kirk. The Proud Boys, Stuart Rhodes is just coming up. I believe his trial's coming up next month or whatever, but a lot of these people have been in here for longer than 18 months now, and they're slowly starving them, they're mistreating them, they're doing the same thing a lot of these people in the nursing homes. Go ahead, Marcus. I'm sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, they're beating them. People are losing eyes. The mistreatment of these individuals is just awful. And none of our politicians are stepping out and saying, this is an illegal injustice which is happening in America. This is a third world country that is happening to these citizens of the United States, and this needs to stop now, and these people need to be bailed out. And they need to go back home and face the trial, the illegal trials that they're going to face in Washington, D.C., which is totally against every red-blooded American. They've got the deck stacked against them, but they should not be in the jail still. This is an illegal action which is being pressed against them.
Well, let me interject here, Marcus. Let me interject. First of all, the January 6th thing is a little bit off topic for what we're talking about. But number two, I believe, and this is only my perspective, that they're being held under the Patriot Act, which deprives them of any constitutional rights. I don't know that for sure, but I know in law that would be the only way that they could hold them without the right to a fair trial. Would you concur with that, Stuart?
Yes, I concur with that, Michael. It's unbelievable that we're discussing this. I never thought my wildest imaginations would get to the point we're at now. Strength in numbers, with you, Marcus. Protest. Get your voice out there. Get it being heard. Protest in front of the facility. Get on the local media. If they'll listen to you. The local media here will not listen to you. That's why
the good news is every night Ashley Babbitt's mother and a group of individuals are protesting outside of that prison every night, and every night before lights out they sing the Star Spangled Banner. So that's right. Anyway,
and that is wonderful. But what happens when even the right wing media like Citizen Free Press and Gateway Pundit and other organizations are not covering that on a normal basis? If they're not covering it, and the MSN media, CBS, whatever, mainstream media, it will never cover it. It just goes under the radar. So, they can protest outside of there, but the fact is that we need a national outcry for these people, because these people are us. That's
exactly.
That's me, that's my sister, that's my brother, that's my father in there right now. And that is what they're going to do to all of us.
I agree.
Coming down the road, if we do not bring this to the forefront and say this is an illegal activity that is being perpetrated upon American citizens in the United States of America, where we do have a constitution and we respect the rights of the people.
All right, Mark, I got a break coming up. Mark, I got to let you go. I agree with that. That's what I'm trying to do. Lynn in Maryland, I'll bring you up after the break. And callers, I tell you what, at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to cut off the calls, and we're going to go back into Stuart's story here. So stick around, Lynn. I'll bring you up after the break. Michael Herzog, National Intel Report. Be back in three. Much more to come. Stuart's not done yet. Be right back.
Oh. Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Soon you will be dancing face to face with the limits of ambition and the scars of the marketplace. Welcome to the land of flame and fizz, where you will learn that packaging.
All right, folks, we're back with the National Intel Report. Michael Herzog, your host, with my special guest, Officer Stuart Candy. Now, I'm going to take one more caller here. I'm going to take Lynn in Maryland, and then at the bottom of the hour, folks, I'm going to go ahead and we're going to get into the balance of this story. If I have any time left after Stuart gets through, we'll take some more callers. But in the meantime, let's go to Lynn in Maryland. Lynn, you're on with Michael and Stuart. What's on your mind, girl?
Thank you very much, Michael, and my sympathy to Stuart for your mom's death. My mom died in 2018, and I went through 8 months of nightmare. With nursing homes, if you have a medical power of attorney, you only need to give them the first two pages of that and the last page, because there's a whole lot of pages in between that probably don't say what you'd want, and they don't need to know, and never give them a financial power of attorney.
Right.
The way they get people to be residential is they say that the patient requires 24-hour care, and naturally you could never do that at home. With my mother at one of the nursing homes, which was just terrible, they couldn't even buy decent blinds. And they're all horrible. They're all horrible. And the hospital is better. I would never leave anybody alone in a hospital. The only time my mother was alone was when I went down to get my tray for a meal and bring it up to the room and eat it. But nursing homes, they make you so uncomfortable and they don't let you stay. I made up my mind. There'll be an inflatable mattress in the trunk of my car if I ever go through something like that again. But because they say you need 24-hour care, that's how they do it. And I'll just share something funny. When I was at my mother's house getting the phone repaired, and they called as soon as the phone was repaired, this nursing home, to say that my mother was going to have to, you know, she was going to need 24-hour care. And I said, well, then she'll be coming home. And they said, well, how much money does she have for that? And I said, that's none of your damn business. And I got to the nursing home and told my mother, and I'd actually mimicked her to the T, and she looked at me and she said, that's none of their damn business. So it is none of their business. And I, you know, I mean, I actually had a hospital kidnap my mother, literally drug her on Seroquel or something. I mean, it is just what happens in nursing homes is horrible. But a nurse ended up ODing her on morphine. Because I said, give her half a milligram of morphine. And after she gave her the second shot, about, you know, after 8 hours, the girl said, oh, we had a misunderstanding. She's a twit. And I said, what misunderstanding? And she said, oh, I gave her half a milliliter of morphine. And I thought, oh, dear God. I said, how many milligrams of morphine are in half a mil? So, actually, if anybody has Bible, Isaiah 57 verses 1 and 2, because God takes those that are righteous and lets them perish so they don't have to face the evil to come. And she's resting in peace. So I'm just sorry. I'm sorry. And Stuart, whatever your legal stuff is, I will pray that it all works out for your benefit and more than benefit.
Well, we're going to get into that, Lynn. Thank you for the phone call. My condolences to your mother. And, yeah, folks, that's the last call I'm going to take for the time being because I want to get into this. It gets, I was going to say it gets better, but it gets worse because we left it off with you having counsel and your counsel being in the counsel with the assistant DA. And they're telling her they need a felony on Roger, and they need to, in order to get a felony on you, they got to get one on Roger. So let's continue with that. Now we're gonna have a break at the bottom of the hour, Stuart, and then we'll have a long segment coming up. So go ahead and let's start back in with this conversation that you had with your attorney had with the DA, and where we go from there.
Okay, that was my first attorney, and of course I got rid of my first attorney. Well, I'll do a second attorney, which was paid for by a wealthy benefactor I used to work for. The second attorney was no better than the first, inept and incompetent, and would not challenge anything that was said. There were official court documents put into the court record, and one of which was been there. I was a danger to the health and safety of the Reno Sparks community. That's an official court document and record submitted by the Washoe County District Attorney's Office. That led to a series of events where they labeled me some renegade, out-of-control cop. They basically said, we're going to put a gag order on you, which, of course, is still in effect to this day. And, yes, Michael, I am taking a risk talking, but you know what? I've had it. Enough's enough. They've assassinated my character. They've caused enormous losses in my personal life and professional life. But they've put these lies in these court documents that paint me as some lunatic. And I've lived in Reno for most of my life, 48 years, 49 years, stayed in Nevada. And they put this in there, which led to a court hearing where they were trying to get a GPS monitoring device put on my leg. Now, this is when I'm being represented by second counsel. Again, not challenging any of these documents on veracity that are put into the court records. Again, I've already told you what I think of the attorneys. So this led to a hearing. And initially the judge said, well, the GPS monitoring doesn't apply, and the Department of Alternative Standards is not going to supervise you, which basically was reversed within a short period of time. And then I'm told that I have to report to the pretrial services officer to have a GPS device. Well, I knew
okay,
a little
okay,
bit
hold that thought. Hold that thought. We're going to go to a break again for a few minutes. Sorry about that, Stuart. We get back. That's let's okay. continue with this. We got a long segment coming up. We want to get all this stuff out here for the public. We'll be back at 3. Michael Herzog, National Intel Report, with my special guest, Stuart Handy, 30-year officer, state trooper in the state of Nevada. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W, 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
All right, folks, we're back with a National Intel Report, and I give my commendation to Mikey. Brilliant lead-in music today, Mike. While you were sleeping, they came and took it all away. My special guest is Stuart Handy, 30-year officer with the Nevada Highway Patrol, the state trooper. So, Stuart, the DA tells the court that you're a danger to the community, you're under a gag order, they want to put you on an ankle bracelet, so all the lies and the propaganda they're throwing out with fraudulent police reports, you're not supposed to talk about, right?
Yeah, correct. But you know what? And we'll get into what I've sustained as losses, but let me backtrack a little bit before that. The preliminary hearing takes 2 days. The lead detective, Allison Jenkins-Podowski, is caught on the stand lying about her police report. She says, I was wrong and mistaken when she says that I had signed in fraudulently. That was the impetus behind this thing, that I had signed in fraudulently, that I basically rushed in there like some gangster, and we drug poor Mrs. Silligas out through the door, guns ablazing, which is not what happened. So she gets caught on the stand. I go, game over. Brady v. Maryland, 1963 United States Supreme Court case, when the officer lies on the stand, their career is done. They are over. In fact, the Reno Police Department has policies and procedures in place that says that they can be terminated immediately from their employment with the Reno Police Department, City of Reno, if they're caught lying in police reports. So I'm sitting there going, okay, and she lied twice. he lied about the what I said about the statements that were put in the police reports about me signing fraudulently, which I did not. That's documented evidence. She also said that was the first time she saw the sign-in sheet. That was a lie, because during the interview interrogation that took place on August 14th, 2019, she saw the sheet. She goes, "Who's Gus?" The only way she could have seen that, Michael, is seeing the sheet, because it said Stu and Gus, nicknamed for Roger Hill and Gus, to see Susan Hill and Gus. The only way she could have known that information, she saw the sign-in sheet. So when my attorney, Mr. Picaro, questioned her, that's the first time I've seen the sign-in sheet. That's during the preliminary hearing in 2020. So we fast forward to a series of court documents that have basically assassinated my character, called into question my mental stability, wanted me to get a mental psychiatric evaluation. I can guarantee you one thing, sir. As I sit here today, I know I'm suffering from PTSD about all the nightmares that have encompassed my life over the last 3 years. And, that's the truth right there. I will admit it freely, because that's what's taken place. So we were bound over by Judge Sullivan, the same judge at ORB, on August 15th, 2019. We were bound over to district court on basically the lies of the main detective. And I couldn't believe it. I'm like, wow. But this is not where it stops.
Okay, let me interject before it stops. Is she still on the police force?
Yep, sure is.
Okay. Oh, all right. She gets promoted for her bad deeds. All right, yeah, go ahead.
So, and I'll add a little bit more to that if we have time. So, anyways, long story short, all these things lead up to a hearing where the Judge Barry Breslow says, we're not going to have this monitor, then turns around and reverses it, which should have led to another hearing to argue the parameters, because I knew about these GPS monitors, some of which can actually illegally hear conversations, such as you and I having one right now, can also listen in, can also pinpoint your location, which has happened. It's absolutely unbelievable these monitors can do. Some can do it, some cannot. So in January of 2022, after Judge Breslow reverses the decision, I'm notified by my pretrial services officer that I have to come in on Monday. And Roger and I were down at a training seminar in Oakdale, California, when I'm notified of this. I'm like, I don't agree to this. The judge said that doesn't apply. Now you're saying he says he does? Uh-uh. That's an illegal contract that I have to pay for. And I started paying for it, just to let you know, because I had to have it on, and we'll get to that in a minute. So I said, no, I'm not putting it on. I'm not showing up before 11 o'clock on Monday. Monday, I'm back in Reno. I'm back at work. I get a phone call from a news reporter, Ed Pierce, Channel 8 News, and I see my phone light up. I wasn't on break, so I went outside to call him back because it went to voicemail. He goes, "Hey, Stuart, I just heard you got a $100,000 cash bail warrant out for your arrest." I go, "What?" He goes, "Yeah." I go, "Where'd you hear that from?" He goes, "Well, I can't name my sources." I go, "You're telling me you've got this information? How do you get it?" He goes, "I can't reveal my sources." This is a news reporter, not my attorney, not my pretrial services, nobody but a news reporter from another local media bought and paid for a station here in Reno. And I go, wow. So I try to get a hold of my attorney, can't get a hold of him. I go down to see Roger at his house. I go, "Hey, there's a problem. Remember we talked about this over the weekend, about your buddy who's an electronics expert? I want to know what these things can do before I submit to having anything put on my body." He goes, "Well, he lives in Elko." I said, "Well, let's call him up." Now, this is the afternoon prior to my arrest the following day. We call up this guy. He goes, "I'm not talking to you over the phone, partner." He goes, "You're being monitored, and I know you're being monitored. If you want to come discuss the parameters of these GPS monitors, you're going to have to drive to Elko." I go, "Great." Elko is about 300 miles away from Reno. So Roger and I, the following day, head off to Elko. We never made it. We got pulled over at a felony car stop outside of Elko by no less than 10 law enforcement vehicles, probably 11 to 12 officers, taken out of the car, placed under arrest for a violation of a court order, $100,000 cash bail on my warrant. Never heard of that before in my 30 years for failure to comply with a court order. Never heard of it. Never. I was taken into custody. Not advised again the second time on my Miranda rights, which they started questioning me, and Miranda does apply. I know that. I was brought into the Elko County Jail facility.
They placed me on the floor for 4.5 hours. Now, I told you earlier, my back had been injured during my first arrest and never fully recovered. So when they told me to get up off the floor after I'd been there for 4.5 hours, my back locked up and I collapsed. Excruciating pain. I could not walk. They eventually had to transport me to the hospital where they injected me with an unknown medication that caused me to black out. I believe it was morphine. I stayed in jail in Elko for 7 days, not allowed to talk to my wife. I'm getting to that too. My friends, I was sequestered. I was not given my attorney. I didn't have any communication from him. I was then transferred back to Reno, where I spent 85 days in custody. I was released because of some, obviously, my family here, my cousins, some dear friends of mine, Teddy Jensen, I love you to death, Matt Starlottis, you are a champion. They didn't stop. They wanted me out of jail. I graduated from being in a wheelchair, Michael, to a walker. I walked out of the jail facility with that walker on April 13th of this year. I went to see my chiropractor, which I wanted to see all the time I was in jail. They denied me medical help in jail. I got to see my chiropractor. He popped my back into place. I walked out of his office the following day. And now we're at the point where I've got rid of my third lawyer that I hired recently and got rid of because they're all the same. And now I'm facing the cabal. It's a showdown. It's a street brawl in the middle of the street. I'm facing it by myself with my family behind me, my few friends I have left. And this is where I'm at right now. The losses I've incurred are as follows. Lost my marriage, lost my house, lost my pet, one of which died on Christmas Eve Day 2021. That's the worst loss. I lost a relationship with my daughter. She got married on September 3rd of this year. I wasn't even invited to the wedding. She's ashamed of me. I've lost friends in the law enforcement profession. I've lost acquaintances that I've accrued throughout the 49 years I've lived in the state of Nevada. These are the losses I've accrued because of the personal vendetta exacerbated against me by the court system, the district attorney's office, and law enforcement agencies. A career law enforcement officer. This is where I'm at right now.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up because two things, okay, and I wanted to get this in before the end of the program today. A vendetta. That's the second thing. The first thing, you said you were released from jail on April 13th, 2022. The day before that, there was an article written that came out in the Activist Post that exposed this, what you had been going through. And it was written by Janet Phelan, the pit bull, by the way, of investigative reporting.
Awesome. Yeah.
Pardon me?
She's awesome.
My question. I'm sorry? What's that?
I love her to death. Go ahead.
Okay. I've known her for 15 years, and of all the investigative journalists that I've ever met, she is the biggest pit bull that I have ever met in all my years in broadcasting and in private investigation. So, that being said, she wrote that on the 12th. Do you think that this article may just have had something to do with your release?
I believe it did. I believe it did between her article and a bail bondsman who called me his hero and my family and some friends that have stood by me, I would still be in jail. I'd still be in jail. So those people, I thank the God that have come into my life. I believe in God, and I believe God is pushing me in a path that he's choosing for me. But I tell you, that article, absolutely. My family, absolutely. My friends, absolutely. Janet, absolutely. Matt, Allie, I love you all to death. If it wasn't for you guys, Dan, and not for me, I think I'd still be in jail. And so the $100,000 cash bail was eventually lowered by Judge Breslin to $50,000 bondable. I'm not going to name the name of the businessman in Reno who provided 15% of the bond. Other people stepped up and signed their names over, not signing their houses or anything, but just signed their name that Stuart's not going to go anywhere. And that's my family members and a dear friend of mine, Penny Jensen. So I say that only because they deserve the accolades. I do not. I survived in custody for 92 days because God's got a plan for me, and part of that plan is speaking on your show today. And
okay.
Thank you for that. That's where I'm at right now. I'm fighting this cabal by myself, but I'm not afraid of them. I'm not afraid
okay.
of them because they're the criminals, not me.
Okay, so we've got a short period of time left, and I want to mention that I mentioned at the bottom of the hour, I wasn't going to take any more phone calls unless I had time. I know I've got another caller on the line. I may get to you. I know what you're going to say, Dave, and I can relate that to Stuart because I know Roger personally, Roger Sales I'm talking about. So let's talk about this personal vendetta, the reason, the real reason why they want to incarcerate you, shut you up, whatever you want to do. It is not directed at Mrs. Hillegass and the fact that you accompanied this man as a good Samaritan in to get his mother out of a nursing home. The real reason is because they don't like you, okay? You caused some problems because you were a whistleblower and you were actually wanting to bring corruption forward to your department and all the way up to the governor's office. You want to expound on that a little bit?
Yes. On September 5th, 2001 and September 6th, 2001, respectively, I was president of the Nevada Highway Patrol Association, which was our union. We had uncovered some serious allegations against the director of the Department of Public Safety at the time, Richard Kirkland, involving federal misappropriation of funds, state misappropriation of funds, attempted to cover up a fatal accident investigation, destruction of traffic citations, all at his direction. We went to the governor's, or the attorney general's office and the governor's office back to back, only we were walking into a trap. And on September 11th is when I was ordered into a hearing the following day, disregarding everything that happened in New York, Washington, D.C., and Pennsylvania, to answer the whistleblower allegations. And I said, I'm not answering a damn thing. And they said, Trooper Hampi, if you don't answer the questions, you'll be insubordinate and we'll terminate you on the spot. And I said, well, I'm not showing up at your meeting. Well, if you don't show up at the meeting, we'll terminate you. So I had to threaten the governor to a third-party source, Gary Wolf, God bless his soul, he was like a second father to me. He was our business lay agent, a lobbyist for the Highway Patrol Association. He told the governor, call the dogs off, or Stewart's going to show up at his meeting with his trooper hat, his Ike jacket, looking like a sharp trooper. That I was proud of that uniform. And then I was basically going to tell him to take a long walk off a short pier, but not use those terms. And I was going to hold a press conference and expose the, what the corruption that was taking place. That person, the director, is linked through a series of other people where this case is today. I firmly believe that without a shadow of a doubt because this delegation is gone. There's no victim here. I have the right to face my accuser under the Sixth Amendment of the United States Constitution. And there's no intent. There was no intent for what was the intent for me to kidnap him. I never kidnapped anybody. Roger took his mother to see her brother. She was not patient. She was a resident there. She still could drive. She still could vote. She could come and go with relatives as she saw fit. And she wanted to get out of that facility. I saw it in her eyes. I heard it in her voice. And the sad thing is, she only lived 2 months after that. So all I can say is this. There was no crimes committed by me. I did not do what I'm accused of doing. There is documented evidence to provide that. In fact, the statement up that I just made. But this is a personal vendetta. And is exacerbated by the district attorney's office. And the documents that have been submitted to the court are a blatant character assassination, one of which was recently just submitted yesterday. And these people are on a personal vendetta, and they're after me to destroy me in every way, shape, or form. I already told you what I've lost. There's nothing left for me to lose except my life. I put the uniform on, Michael, for 30 years. I was never afraid that I would lose my life in the line of duty. But if I was afraid, I would never have walked out the door with that uniform, the bulletproof vest, the 37-pound gun belt, and hopped into a police car and faced down some deadly person, which I did a few times in my career, that were willing to kill me. I would have been, you know, a different line of work. So I'm not afraid of these people. They know it. They're afraid of what I'm saying, and I'm saying it right now. And yes, it is coming at a risk, but you know what? I've had enough. You want to fight? Let's go.
Okay, I commend you for it, and I also, I'm standing side by side with you on it, because I've been there, done that, and I can share stories with you off the air about that at a future date. But I have to tell you, I've got a caller on the line here who's claiming that he can give you some options on an affidavit that in this situation, I don't know what he's talking about. He did mention somebody else, and I was having a conversation with my engineer about this. We're going to go to a break shortly. When we get back from the break, I'm going to go ahead and bring this caller up, see what he has to say.
Sure.
But in the meantime, my Yeah, let's go ahead and skip the break, Mike. My engineer just told me we can skip the break. So, all right, let's go to Dave in Michigan. Dave, you're on with Michael and Stewart. You were talking about Roger Sales being able to do something about this, and I know Roger, and with what Roger purveys on his own show, and I've had Roger on my show, and with what Stewart's going through right now, at least from what I understand about what Roger promotes, that won't help Stewart at this point. But Dave, go ahead. What's on your mind?
So you are exactly right, Roger, and hello, gentlemen, and thank you for what you're doing. You know, standing up to corruption is really what you're supposed to do. Isn't that right, Stewart?
Yes, sir. It is absolutely what I was supposed to do. I've stood up to it, right. And I will continue to stand up to it, yes.
And Roger,
by the way, Dave, this yes. isn't Roger. This is Michael. Roger.
I'm sorry. I know who you are. I know Michael. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I
don't know
you. I heard you say Roger, and it just threw me right off.
That's
anyway,
okay.
I've been listening to Roger for many years. Okay, and I've done his process, and although it may not help Stewart presently with this case, but what he really needs to send that affidavit. He needs to learn this information so he knows we're living under the feudal system, and you are not a U.S. citizen, my friend. You are a national, okay? And nationals have their Bill of Rights, their God-given rights. All U.S. citizens have privileges granted by the government, okay? And when you stand up and you put these people on notice and they know who you are and you have a community behind you with other nationals, you know what? They may back off, okay? But I'll tell you what, you've got to do this for future because you're going to beat this. You're going to beat these bastards because they, now that you've exposed this publicly, they may not come after you because they'll have to do what they'll have to do is expose their tyranny. Okay.
Well, so, let me interject here, Dave. This is part, yeah. and Stewart, this is for your benefit as well, and I commend you for coming forward because that takes a lot of guts, Stewart.
Absolutely.
But this is part of the reason why they've put that gag order on Stewart to begin with. They don't want people to know what's going on here because they know that their shenanigans are breaking the law. So, Dave, let me say this. I'm very familiar with Roger. I'm very familiar with the whole his website, the whole nine yards.
Yes.
And by the way, yeah, and I've got the affidavit sitting right here. So
perfect.
I can share that with Stewart a later date, but I do appreciate your call and I appreciate the information. And if Stewart wants to know more about it, I'll be happy to tell him. Okay?
Thank you, Michael. He needs this, okay? Everybody does. Thank you, and great show. And thanks, guys. Good luck,
all right.
Stewart.
All right, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, and by the way, Stewart, with what he's talking about, and I'm very familiar with what he's talking about because I know Roger, and I'll be happy to share it with you off the air. And if you want to, you know, do anything with it, that's up to you. But at any rate, go ahead.
We'll add that. We have some surprises coming up for them. They're not aware of. In fact, there is one that Matt and I took care of yesterday, and I'm just leave it there for now. It's already in a court record. I will just say this. I will take any and all advice from people who've gone through this. It's up to us as people, as God-fearing people, as patriots of this country, to stand up to corruption. Corruption exists in the law enforcement profession. It exists in district attorney's office and attorney's offices. It exists in the court systems. I don't care what state you're in. It exists, and I'm here to tell you that if you don't fight it, you will be a victim and you will go down.
Roger, what I would like for you to do is I want you, if you could, keep me in the loop, and if you don't, Janet will. But
I don't want to yet. Yes, I will, Michael. It's been a very appreciative of my part to allow me this platform to speak to you, your audience, those listening out there, to understand that this Guardian probate system is a racket. It's a multi-billion-dollar-a-year racket. You've got everybody got their hands out. You've got people that are the victim, thousands probably a day that are getting victimized by the system. It's time to stop it. We've got to stop it. And if I'm the impetus behind a group of people, there's no I in team, I'd be happy to push whatever efforts I can help. They can't disparage my career. They can't.
Well, I appreciate that, and part of the problem is, and I hate to say this, Stewart, but you know, and a lot of this is caused by the society in which we live, but we live in a throwaway society. I know I have lived in other countries, and other countries, they don't treat their elderly the same as they treat the elderly here. A lot of people in this country, when the parents get old, they just throw them away, put them in the nursing home. They don't want to bother with them. And this is part of the reason for the abuse is because the powers that be, the people that are running these facilities, they know that. And all they're really looking for, and the core issue, Stuart, as you know, is the money. It happened to me. I could share the story with you about my mother. My mother had a trust. I had to put her in an assisted living facility. They drained her trust. I wound up having to change facilities of her to put her in a Medicaid-approved facility because she had run out of money. 2 weeks after she ran out of money and I put her in a facility, guess what? Oh, my, she dies. She dies of supposedly pneumonia after they had given her a pneumonia shot. I requested all the records from the, for a request from the medical facility. Turned it over to a lawyer. The lawyer comes back and tells me, "Oh no, everything's fine. You know, nothing to see here. Move along." You know, so it's a racket, and it's a big club. We're not in it, and all of these people are getting greased with backslaps behind the scenes. That's what's going on, Stuart. From my perspective, what about you? Closing thoughts.
Closing thoughts. First of all, again, thank you, Michael. God bless you for doing this. Your mother. My mother, Matt's dad, other victims that have gone on to a better place are guiding us. They're looking down from heaven and saying, guys, you need to push this forward. You got to keep going. At great risk today, I don't care. My final thoughts is get busy living or get busy dying.
You saw the Shawshank Redemption too, huh?
I did. Favorite movie. Get busy living or get busy dying. It's a simple choice, and it is a simple choice. If you love your parents, if you love your relative, if you love your friends, not let them go into these facilities. Stand up for their rights and take them to a different place. There's a case out of Las Vegas that's identically similar to what happened to Mrs. Hilligus, only the difference was it was a daughter and her father. She took them to California. They said, bring him back. She said, pound sand, and he lived the rest of his days. Now, what's the difference there? Same state, Las Vegas, still in Nevada. Reno, still in Nevada. What happened to her? Nothing. So, again, my statement to you is, yes, it's a personal vendetta. I appreciate the platform today. God bless you. I hope to talk to you again soon. And God bless your listening audience for all their attendance today.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Officer Stuart Handy, for coming on my program today. It hopefully enlightened a lot of people. But, you know, there was thanks to the callers as well. And by the way, thanks to my engineer for that. Was some beautiful lead-in music, Mikey.
I love the music.
Yeah, it was great. All right, we got to go. Thanks again for coming on, Stuart. Thank you, Michael, for tuning in today. Yep, folks, I'll see you same time, same station next week. In the meantime, keep your radar up and stay out of trouble. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
We need leaders to lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad. Take America back. We must take America back.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.